if you will. Wow, we gotta go there. Everybody all right? Job chapter number one. Don't worry, we won't be here long. I got a real short sermon somewhere. Is everybody all right? I was preparing, I guess you'd say, for this and thinking about trust issues. I wasn't thinking about trust issues in my relationship. I was thinking about trust issues as a nation. I was thinking about trust issues that we see going on now that we didn't see or have access to years ago. I was thinking about the misinformation that's out there. Y'all know what I'm talking about because about half of y'all sent me a video about some preacher that's supposed to be prophetic about what all's fixing to take place and everything else. And we got about 9 different narratives that are going on in America right now. And the average American doesn't know what to believe, right? We have trust issues. Can you believe Fox News? No. Can you believe CNN? No. Can you believe what you read on Facebook? Come on now. Surely you can. Cause I mean, everything on Facebook is the truth, right? Really, where do you go to get factual information? Well, I go here, but can you really trust that what they're giving you is factual information? Who can you trust? Why do you trust a news? Some of y'all trust a news organization over the Bible when they've proven to be pushing false narratives over and over again. America's in a crisis right now in trust. Who do we trust? We're in a crisis, people. You have one side, half of America believes everything that this side tells them, and the other side is evil. Then you go over on the other side and they believe everything they're being told, and the other side's being lied to and they're evil. We don't know who to trust. We don't know who to turn to. Who do you go to find correct news? We live in a world that we see not only the false, the lies, we've caught, how many times have we caught the news, both sides in lies? I mean, you can't say, can anybody name one politician that's honest? I don't know of one. I honestly don't know of one politician that is honest. They'll lie to you to get your vote, and as soon as they got your vote, it's like it's complete turncoat. And America has just accepted that. Who you trust? We're told the news tells us, or the government tells us that we see the lies, but the government, we see the hypocrisies. We see the government tell us one thing concerning this group and something completely different concerning another. BLM, is everybody all right? I'm gonna attack some different things that are going on. BLM and all of that, pushing the narrative that we have a systemic racial problem in America, and yet they elect government officials that's been in office for 40 something years to get them out of it. Maybe somebody's watching me that's a BLM fan, and you voted because you thought that the people that have been in office for 47 years and what is claimed to be systemic racism is going to all of a sudden fix the problem. I hate to say it, but you're an idiot. Who do you trust? Remember, they're just telling you what you want to hear so they can get your vote, but they can protest and burn down cities, take over cities. Antifa can take over a city. They can burn down police stations and everything else. A group of people storm the Capitol building, and all of a sudden we're gonna crucify all of them. We still got, what is it, Seattle over there? that Antifa is still controlling over there, but we're gonna. Hypocrisy. So who do you trust? Does everybody see what I'm saying? I don't care what side you own or what you believe. Common sense ought to let you know what's going on. A little bit of it, you see the hypocrisy that's going on. So who do you trust? I mean, what's good for one side? We know how many of our elected officials have been caught in crime. Criminal. Posted out there. And yet today, the President of the United States was impeached for the second time because of what they thought he was trying to do. No evidence. We've got tons of evidence on many other elected officials. Got tons of evidence. I'm talking about documented evidence of crimes that they have committed. And they're walking around free. And we seriously just voted to impeach a president because we thought that we knew what his motives were behind a speech. That ought to scare every one of us. It ought to scare you to death that somebody can determine that you are a criminal based off of what they think your motives are. How do you trust? Our information tells us, is everybody all right? That, hey, there's 70 plus genders out there. And I'm supposed to accept that. Is everybody all right? They tell us that homosexuality, I ain't mad at y'all, but I might get, you know, there ain't no time. I might end up in jail on all of this because you know how right now everybody, if they don't agree with your opinion, then you're being canceled if you don't know that. But homosexuality, I've learned, I appreciate Miss CC said we got you, but I have learned that when they decide to come after somebody, there ain't nothing you can do about it anyhow. I'll just be quiet about that. But we're told that homosexuality is natural. It's normal. It's something to be accepted. But I can't watch a TV show without them promoting a medicine that'll keep you from dying because you're living in that kind of a lifestyle. Who do you trust? I mean, it seems like just common sense, but America ain't got much of that. We take that from a national level and we take that into our own personal lives, and who can we trust? Let's get away from politics and get away from all that, because I think we painted a picture of how it is globally and how it is nationally, but let's get it into our own lives. How many of you can say this, that there's been some people that's broken your trust? Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was an ex, an ex-husband or an ex-wife. Maybe it was an ex, a friend that lied to you and deceitfully used you of some capacity. Maybe it was a coworker. Maybe it was a boss. Maybe it was a church. I'm not above and don't think that the church is perfect by no means. And so maybe it was a church that hurt you. And so we have trust issues. If you've ever struggled with a trust, you know how easily it comes back up in your life. Did that make sense? if I've had somebody that I trusted that done me wrong, then it's harder for me to trust. Right? An example, a preacher breaks your trust. And so you go to the next church and you don't trust the preacher. And yet he's done nothing to you. But based off a previous circumstance or a previous situation, you now have a distrust in the office that is represented. Is that not the same thing we see in the police? Is that not the same thing that you and I just said we've seen in our politicians? We've been lied to by one. And so I asked y'all, is there any honest ones? And every one of you said, no. And yet every one of us will go to the polls and vote for somebody that we know is a liar. You're the least liars, yeah. Miss Cece, this great intellectual giant right here tells me now, look, they're all liars. You just got to go with the least liars. Because the least liars ain't as bad as the worst liars. Is anybody here right now? But they're all liars. Hey, who can I trust, preacher? Who can I trust? I want to read to you out of the book of Job. I'm going to read quickly. We're going to get out of here quickly. I promise you. When I get to this, we're just going to go through it and we're going to get out of here. But I do want to do some read. The Bible tells us in Job chapter number 1 and verse number 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. We see a man that is upright, according to the Bible. He was perfect, mature, one that believed God, one that hated evil, one that the Bible said was great in possessions. Materialistically, he was unequal to anyone. According to the Bible, it says this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. The Bible tells us in verse number 4 and 5 that his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And listen to what Job did. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt sacrifice or burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And listen, this did Job continually. Job sacrificed, interceded on the behalf of his children, according to the Bible, continually. Is everybody with me? This is a good man. A lot better than anybody sitting in this building. He was a good man. God said more good things about Job than he'll ever say about me. Is everybody all right? And maybe that'll help you, all right? I know we don't like to say that somebody's better than us, but God clearly states that Job is head and shoulders above us, all right? I think we can see that, okay? But the Bible tells us in verse number 14, and there came a messenger unto Job. And we know the backstory of this. Satan comes and he's walking to and fro in the earth, and he comes and gives an account to God. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And this story ensues. It says, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, we just found out at the beginning of this chapter that Job was a great man. We've seen the evidence of that in the testimony of Job, and that he hated evil, and that he made sacrifice, intercession for others, and that he was great materialistically. But then we see God take his hand off of Job just for a little bit and allow Satan to do some things to Job. And we see God allow Satan to take everything from Job. By the time this is over with, in just a few moments, Job has lost everything. If that wasn't bad enough, we go over to chapter number 2. And in chapter number 2 and in verse number 7, the Bible says that this conversation once again happened with the Lord and Satan. And Satan said, yeah, Job, if you do something to his body, he'll curse you. So in verse number 7, the Bible says, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hands of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. We see a man that God presents to us in the Word that is great and mighty and powerful, a man that is blessed by God beyond measure to the extent that he is known as the greatest man on the earth. And then we see God take everything away from him. We see God allow Satan to have his way with his family, his possessions, eventually his body. Now we're comforted in the fact that we know that God had control over Satan and told him he could only go so far. That's comforting. Job didn't have that comfort. Job didn't know that. Is everybody with me? Job did not know that. Say, well, he had to believe that. Well, let me tell you what Job had to say about that. And this is going to be our key text for tonight, our one verse, Job chapter number 13. Job chapter number 13. I'm going to read one verse and we're done. Job says in Job chapter number 13, verse number 15, Miss Carrie, if you'll get that up there for us, for those that don't have the Bible with them tonight. It says this, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. In other words, I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right before God, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. We were studying in our Bible college the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk, he had some questions for God. He wanted to know why God allowed injustices to happen. And God told him, he said, I ain't allowing it to happen. He says, I'm going to judge it and I'm going to use a nation of Babylon to do so. So Habakkuk had another question. Why are you going to use a wicked nation to judge a righteous nation? In other words, God, why are you letting something evil do judgment on something that is chosen, God's people? And the conclusion of the whole matter was, the just shall live by faith. God basically told Habakkuk, what is it to you what I do or how I do? You just trust me. Y'all help me. This is the problem with the average Christian. We don't trust God. Now, I set that whole thing up by saying, who can we trust? And every one of you was thinking, we can trust God, we can trust God, we can trust God. Every one of you, that's what you was thinking. This is elementary. Can't believe I got come up. Can't believe I come up here on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, hear about him say, I'm supposed to trust God. I know I'm supposed to trust God. I know you're supposed to trust God, but my question to you is this. Do we really trust God? It's easy to have knowledge of what we're supposed to do and not do it. Amen. I know I'm supposed to eat right, but I'm going to tell y'all something. Is everybody all right? When there enters into my house a half gallon of Bluebell butter pecan ice cream, I don't care. Is everybody all right? I don't care if I have to lose 15 pounds by the morning. Somebody's eating a bowl of ice cream. I know to do better, but that don't mean I'm going to do it. That's just truth. Amen. We have a knowledge and we know what we're supposed to do, but how many of us really trust the Lord? How many of us are like Habakkuk and questions God on every detail of our life? And God, why you let this happen to me? God, why are you letting them do this to me? How many times this week have you asked the question, why is this being allowed to happen? Maybe not in your own life, but maybe in politics or maybe in something else that you've seen. Why is this being allowed to happen? I believe it's all right to question God. Habakkuk did, and God didn't kill him for it. God didn't reprimand him for it. God just said, trust me. And I believe that that's the cry for the Christian today. Preacher, how are we going to make it in this world with everything that's going on? We don't know who to trust. How are we going to make it, preacher? Say it with me. We're going to trust him. Preacher, I need something. I need something mind-blowing. Okay? Trust him. That's all I can do is trust him. I think of Joseph and I think about the dream that Joseph had and how Joseph seen himself standing and his brothers and his father and his mother kneeling down to him. And he shared that dream, that heavenly vision that God had given to him. He shared that with his brothers and his father only to have them get mad at him. And he ended up in the bottom of a pit. How many of y'all think that was Joseph's plan to begin with? Come on, I need some help. How many of you think that was a plan that Joseph thought was going to happen? How many of you reckon that in that pit, Joseph might have thought, or we would have thought, not Joseph, he's probably a lot better than us too, but we would have thought, now God, it's going to be real hard for them to bow down to me while I'm way down here. Right? So God said, hey, don't worry about it. I got something better than the pit. I'm going to sell you into slavery. Can't you just see it on his resume? Well, I was thrown in a pit by my own brothers. They hated me so much, they threw me in a pit. They wanted to kill me, but my oldest brother wouldn't let them, so they decided they were going to sell me into slavery. So I was sold to the Ishmaelites. they brought me into Egypt, and in Egypt, this fine fella named Potiphar bought me. And man, things were good. I was his slave, but he put me over everything. He gave me the charge of it all, and he trusted me with everything that he had, and his wife lied about me and said that I tried to rape her. So I got thrown in prison. Never exonerated. There's never a time in Scripture where the Bible says that Job was exonerated of all charges and it was proved that it was a false accusation. There's never one time that that's said in the Bible. Joseph died with that on his record. In prison, God blessed. But I'm sure as he sat as a slave and as he sat in prison, he wasn't thinking, you know what? Man, this serving God's awesome. I mean, where else could you go to a pit? Where else could you end up in slavery? Where else could you be falsely accused and thrown into prison? And I mean, prison facilities are nice here. We have TV, a gym to work out, basketball on the outside. Is everybody with me? But it all ended up putting Joseph in a place to where God had purposed him from the very beginning. And the fact of the matter is that the circumstances of mine and your life, if we truly trust God, this is mind blowing. But if we truly trust God, then the circumstances of our life are meant for his purpose for our life. Now that's hard to admit. That's hard to grab hold of. Preacher, they hurt me bad. How do you think it was for Joseph when his brothers threw him in a pit and then sold him into slavery? They done him pretty bad. I know I'm trying to gauge whether or not y'all with me and understanding that no matter what happens, God has decided this path for me. That's trust. That's trust in God. Not me trying to subvert or supplant God's rule or God's decision making in my life. Yes, I'm to use discernment in my life, but if God allows me to go through something, then that's what, if I truly trust him, that's. Then I have to look at God as, I would love to be able to look at God and say, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. No matter how bad it gets on me, God, I'm going to trust you. And I think before you say, that's me. No matter how difficult it gets on me, I'm going to trust God. So how do we trust God? What's some ways that we can trust God? And I'm done. Is everybody with me? How can I trust God, preacher? Number one, by examining his record. Seems pretty elementary, but by examining his record. The fact is that he's never been defeated. The fact is that everything that God has said he would do, he's done. As far as you and I have record of God, everything that he has said he would do, he has performed it to a T right on time. So he has given us no reason to believe that he's not going to do it again. He's given us no reason, as the politicians have, as the media has, as the education has, our educators have, he's given us absolutely no reason to doubt him. And yet, many Christians trust their politician, the media, and their education over what God says. One has an impeccable record. The other one, we have said, is a liar. Some are little liars. Some are big liars, and then some are just really, really, really big liars. So we're told we have to decipher between who the really, really big liars is and the little liars. And except the little, y'all come on, help me now. But you and I have one that's record is impeccable. He's never one time not performed what he said he would do. Do you realize that your salvation tonight is based off of him doing what he said he would do? You don't sit here. I need somebody to help me. We have such a hard time trusting him with our life, and yet we claim to trust him with our salvation, our eternity. Well, I can trust God in my eternity, but I can't trust God in the here and now. So number one, we must examine his record. You can take a look at his promises. You can see his faithfulness. But not number two, and I'm moving quickly, we must elevate our relationship. How can I trust him? Well, first, examine his record. Second, elevate your relationship. Now, we all started off like Brother Kenny and Miss Karen. I need somebody to help me. Everywhere we went, you started dating that girl. Man, you opened the door for her. You hush. Open the door for her. Hold her hand. Come on, Miss Michelle, come here. Come on, come in. Don't disobey me right now. I don't want to preach out of Ephesians tonight. Yeah, call me Lord while we're doing this. Is everybody all right? Boy, we were... I remember when I was 18 and she was older. We couldn't go anywhere without holding hands. We'd sit there and we'd eat whole time. Just looking in each other's eyes. I need somebody to help me. Come on. Man, just googly eyes. Okay, stop. She says stop trying. We couldn't go anywhere. She's still like that. Anywhere we want to walk, she wants to hold hands. I'm like, I'm not Brother Kenny and Miss Karen. I ain't never liked that PDA stuff, but when I was younger and she was older, it was like that. She's embarrassed, so I'm letting her sit down. But we get on the phone back in the days when the phone was attached to the wall. I need somebody to help me. Let me demonstrate for some of y'all that don't know what I'm talking about. We'd stand over there in the kitchen because that's where the phone was. I love you. You say it. You say it. No, you say it. I'm not hanging up until you say it. Well, I'm not going to say it until you say it. Is everybody with me? Praying our parents to get the long cord where we could sit down at the bottom on the ground. I need somebody to help me. By the trash can that everybody threw stuff in. Oh, I need some help. Amen. Them first days, man, it was nice. Ooh, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're perfect. There ain't nothing wrong with you. Oh, you're just great. We start that relationship, and over the years, it builds. And as it builds, we develop more and more trust. We share things that we would never share with somebody else. We trust them with every part of our lives. Many sign over on our finances where they have control just as much as we do. We include them in our decisions because we trust them and we value their input. The more we get to know them, the more we trust them. The longer the relationship goes, the stronger the trust. Is everybody with me? And I see an issue in the modern day Christian in that a relationship with God seems to never get much past a ticket to heaven. And the failure to trust in God is because we've not matured and grown in the relationship with Him. We'd sit there and talk for hours. Me and Michelle. Michelle lived in Wayne County. I lived in Glynn County. I lived in Brunswick. She lived out towards Jessup, so it was a long distance phone call for me to call her. Oh yeah, it was right. Y'all wouldn't know nothing about that either. This young crowd wouldn't know nothing about that, but if you made a long distance phone call, it costs money. And when I sat on the phone for 3 hours with Michelle on a long distance phone call, I got talked to. Is everybody all right? Especially when you ain't got no job to pay the bill. But back in those days, as our relationship was progressing, we'd sit, Miss Angie, me and Miss Michelle would sit for hours. We'd go out, hey, Brother Sheldon, this is good. We would go out to eat together, and we had no phone. And so, guess what we did? We talked. It was great. We sat and literally just had conversation about each other with each other for hours on end. And it built trust. Why can't I trust God? Because you only have a 2 to 3 minute conversation with Him every day. I need some help. I'm thinking, y'all been married for 65 years, 75 years? 42. All right, 42 years. I'm thinking, this is a hypothetical guess, but I'm thinking that if all they talked was 5 minutes a day, that they wouldn't be sitting on the front row holding hands. We have to, if we're going to trust God, you're going to have to elevate your relationship with Him. Because as long as your relationship is a 2-minute prayer at bedtime, or a 15-second prayer over a piece of fried chicken, as long as your conversation is only prayer and it's not a personal, I got to know, man, let me tell y'all, y'all got a minute? Me and Miss Michelle would sit there and talk before we got married, Brother Sheldon, we was like, how many kids you want to have? She said, 10. I'm like, I'm good with 10. I ain't kidding. My mama was 1 of 10. Michelle's mama was 1 of 10. Her daddy was 1 of 6. My stepdad who raised me was 1 of 6. All we knew was big family. 10 kids, that wasn't nothing. We got to 3 and said, that's enough. But 10 at the time. Now, the reason I'm telling y'all this, because I've had people literally sit in my office 2 weeks from getting married and say, hey, what do you want out of life? And one of them say, I want 2 kids and I want a picket fence and I want all this. For the other one to say, I'm down with the picket fence, but we ain't having 2 kids. 2 weeks from getting married, they don't even know what each other's desire is concerning children. And we wonder why relationships don't work out anymore. You get to know them by asking questions and seeking out answers. I need somebody to help me. It ain't just about you talking to them. That ain't building a relationship. Building a relationship is seeking out answers and listening to what they have to say. But yet many of us, all we do is talk to God and we don't listen to what He has to say. Now, preacher, I've been waiting patiently for God to speak to me. I'm glad you said that. Because I got it from a good source that God has spoken to you. But yet, this ain't the word we want to hear. Is everybody all right? I'm done. Examine his record, elevate our relationship, and lastly, emphasize a right perspective. Or exercise, either one of them, whatever you want to put down. Exercise or emphasize a right perspective. A right perspective of who I am. We sang that song, "You Do Not Owe Me One Thing." If we really and truly understand that and believe that, then whatever God allows into our life and allows to happen in our life, we cannot charge God and say, "I don't deserve this." I'm going to say that again. There's not one person in this building that can charge God and say, "I don't deserve this." Because if you know who you are, then every one of us deserves hell. But by His grace, you and I are going, is everybody all right? It wasn't because we deserve to go to heaven. It was by His grace that He gets. So anything that you and I have is by His grace, not because you and I deserve. And if we keep that in the right perspective, then when things go wrong in our life, we ain't going to turn to God and say, "Well, I don't deserve this to happen." If we keep the right perspective on who God is, we must exercise not only the right perspective on who we are, but exercise the right perspective of who God is. If you truly believe that God is the creator of it all, He is your creator, He is your savior, then you must believe that He has your best interest in His heart. I don't doubt that she has my best interest at heart. May prove wrong, but as of right this moment, I do not doubt that that woman has my best interest at heart. And I would bet anything she would say, and she doesn't doubt that I have her best interest in heart. If I can trust her like that, and I ought to be able to trust God like that, Brother Jake, I ought not have a problem with trusting that God wants good for my life. I have Bible verses for it. We know that God works all things together for our good. So if I keep a right perspective of who I am and a right perspective of who He is, if I keep a right perspective of my circumstances, keep a right perspective. What do you mean by that, preacher? If I trust that what God's allowing me to go through is preparing me for something bigger? Joseph, let's ask Joseph. Why'd he have to get in a pit? Well, he had to get to Egypt. The only way to get to Egypt was to get in a pit. He had to get to Egypt because Egypt was his purpose. But the only way he could get to Egypt was to get in the pit. See, the pit was nothing more than a tool that was used to get him to his purpose. And then once God got him to his purpose and got him over into Egypt, He placed him into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar put him over all his finances. And he run his house and he managed his house the whole time. God was preparing him to manage and to run a nation. But he did through a master-slave relationship. God had to get him in the palace, and the only way to get him in the palace was to get him into the prison. And so a false accusation had to come upon Joseph so he could be in the prison so that he could meet the butler and the baker. And God used them to get him to the palace before the king. But not one time did God use? A lottery ticket? Not one time did he use a brand new house, a brand new car, no status, a pit, a slavery, a prison, to put him in a palace. I got to have the right perspective of my circumstances. It may be ugly now, but God, Joseph said it like this, as for you, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. Genesis chapter number 50, verse number 20. As for you, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. And I got to have a right perspective of time. Got to have a right perspective of time. Huh. What do you mean by that? Well, Abraham. God come to Abraham when he was 75 years old and he said, Abraham, you're going to have a promised son. I'm going to give you Isaac. Man, your seed's going to be multiplied like the stars of heaven, the sand of the sea. Abraham said, woo, hallelujah. I got me a good woman, her name's Sarah. We're excited about starting a family for the Lord. 25 years later, Isaac was born. A promise made when he was 75, but God delivered it when he was 100. Whew! Hey, I got one better than that. I've been doing my reading. It's all been in Genesis. Is everybody ready for this? So Sarah died when Abraham was 137. Abraham remarried after 137 years old, had 6 more kids. Abraham was the man. That's all I got to say about that. Did the math on it. I'm sitting there, I told Michelle, I said, I ain't believing this. He was 137 years old, remarried, and had 6 kids. Point being, the promise came 25 years after God delivered the promise. We're not on God's timetable. We're not on his schedule. If I got the right perspective of time, God, I know this is going to happen, but be it according to your will and in your timing. Amen. So if I'm going to have a relationship with God, I'm going to have to examine his record and know that he's got the credentials. I can trust him. I'm going to have to elevate my relationship with him. Because the only way that I can build trust with God is to get closer to him. The only way you're going to build trust with somebody else is to get closer to him. And then I'm going to have to exercise the right perspective and believe that what God does and allows in my life is for my good. She's coming to the piano. We're done. I'll give you a short time of prayer because you all need it. How many of you come down here? Trust is an issue. We got trust issues in our society. We got trust issues in our churches. We got trust issues in our marriages, our lives. Will you trust him tonight? Can't trust the news. Can't trust social media. Can't trust hearsay, friends. Who can you trust tonight? I can trust Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight humbly, Lord, realizing who we are. Lord, probably many of us tonight, like myself, has had to reevaluate ourselves in the sermon, me through the study. God, I don't deserve what you've given to me. Lord, I've seen difficulties all through my life. I've seen people that's deceived me, people that's done me wrong, situations that I wish I could have avoided, situations that I wish that I'd never come across. But God, now looking back, I realize that those situations were needed for me to be where I am today. Lord, I don't believe for a second that I'm done with situations. I don't believe for a second that I'll never have another affliction or another trial. But God, what I do want, what I do desire in my life, Lord, is to trust you to the point of Job, who said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust in him. God, help us in 2021 to go beyond just a professed relationship with you into an intimate and personal relationship with you. One of trust, where God, no matter what goes on in our life or what circumstances comes our way, God, we trust that you meant it for our good. And Lord, we carry on through life knowing that you're in control of it all. God, we thank you for this church, this place that we can come together as a body of believers, as a family. Lord, heal together. Bandage up wounds together. Get closer to you together. God, I pray that you would continue to grow our fellowship. Grow the relationships inside of this building. Grow the relationships with you. Lord, to the point that we trust you with our very lives. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for loving on us a little bit in song. And Lord, I pray a little bit in the sermon. God, I look forward to what you're going to do Sunday morning. Lord, I ask you to do something special in this.